right. It is 7:18. We're broadcasting live from our studios on Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee. We welcome to our microphones in studio our very favorite thought criminal, Michael Rechtenwald. Welcome, Michael.
Hey, thanks for having me, Michael. It's great to be here.
You are a recovering academic. You actually, you had a problem in academia because you thought academia was about freedom of speech and freedom of thought, and intellectual integrity. You were on the faculty at New York University.
Yeah, that's right. And then I actually used my academic freedom, which was my first big mistake.
I know, big mistake. They should, you know, they need to tell you once you get your PhD, no academic freedom allowed. You have a book signing today. I want to encourage everyone in our listening audience to go to this book signing. It's at 12:30 p.m. It's at Elder's Bookstore. Where is Elder's Bookstore, you might ask? It's at 101 Whitebridge Pike, right across from the Tech College there, 12:30 p.m. Now, if you'd like to reserve a signed copy, call 615-352-1562. So, Michael, you've written The Thought Criminal, which is a great book, and the other books. Crom, you don't know the names of these books. Let me tell you. One is called Springtime for Snowflakes.
Okay.
Yeah. The other is Google Archipelago.
Okay.
Right? Beyond Woke and Thought Criminal. What's it like being a thought criminal, Michael Rick?
It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. And one feels, you know, as if one is being chased. And especially on the internet, where thoughts are very assiduously policed.
Tell us some of your dangerous thoughts here, Michael Rechtenwald, author of Thought
Criminal.
Okay,
I have this idea that there's actually two sexes.
Oh, no.
Yes, and I can't believe it. I just can't banish the thought that there's two sexes and not like 72.
Michael, you are obviously a thought criminal.
Yeah, it's dangerous. I'm telling you, Michael, it's really a rough gig.
Did you say or do something in particular that caused New York University to?
Yeah, I started a Twitter account called the Anti-PC NYU Prof.
Okay.
And I started tweeting about things like Halloween costumes and how you couldn't wear like a costume because, you know, it would trigger somebody. You know, the way they were throwing speakers off of campuses for having other than leftist views. They instituted a bias reporting hotline where the students could report on their professors for a microaggression or other offense.
Not only are you a thought criminal, Michael Rechtenwald, you are a microaggressor.
I am.
How can we, Crom, how can we have him in our studio?
But I'm interested about, because you obviously you are a teacher, you are a professor because you cared about our youth.
Absolutely.
If people like you are not allowed to be teachers and professors, if they're not, how can our youth develop intellectually?
It's an outrage. What we're dealing with right now.
And you get into this in your book. Is that?
Oh yeah. And this, amongst other things.
Because this is why, Michael, this book is so important. It really is.
You know, it's not competence that's being. It's not being judged. You're not judged based on your competence. You're judged based on your identity and your politics.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And so we don't have competent professors. We have all kinds of affirmative action hires and advancements and promotions. And
but what does it mean for the kids? I mean, for the
students? What it means is they're not getting educated. I was just talking to my publisher last night. I said, you know, students don't even know what the parts of speech are. You know,
mm-hmm.
They don't know anything about like writing or how to think.
Well, they haven't been taught the basics, how to read, how to write, how to do mathematics, how to think logically.
Well, that was the word for me. It sounds like that if you tried to teach a class on logic, on how to come to a conclusion, how to assimilate the information to come to a correct conclusion, that would be politically incorrect.
As a matter of fact, that could be an offense. Logic is masculinist and white supremacist.
Oh, of course, logic is masculinist.
That's just fascinating.
And masculinity is one of the 72 genders, and apparently the least favored.
Oh, absolutely least favored. It's at the bottom of the hierarchy, you know. So the social justice hierarchy takes the putative hierarchy and flips it upside down.
Okay, so you've got this book, Thought Criminal.
Right.
You are obviously a dangerous thought criminal. We are really going on the edge by allowing you in this studio today.
Amazing.
We are brave here, Crom. We're being very brave.
Well, now we've known that.
Yeah, of course. So, but do you have any solutions for this general problem of lack of intellectual honesty at the university level, and of course, you know, other elements of education in America?
Well,
today?
I mean, the American university system is rotten to the core, I'm afraid.
Rotten to the core.
So, what I suggest is competition from the outside. Competing parallel structures and institutions to take them on head on with
competition in education.
Competition.
Crom, what an unusual idea.
Now, here's an interesting that I agree with what you're saying in theory.
Yeah.
When one side has all the money and all the resources and all the power, I believe in competition, but in order to have true competition, you have to have a level playing field. If I were a football team and I got the top 30 draft picks every year, I probably could overcome bad coaching. So I could probably overcome a poor product. So my question is, how should people who gain power in government, how should they use that power
to bring about
a truly competitive environment?
First of all state colleges and universities should be reviewed in terms of their hiring practices and their promotions, so that you would have an oversight board over these colleges and universities to make sure that they're actually hiring people on a basis of competence.
You're talking about state colleges and universities. You've worked at a private college,
right.
NYU, but have you worked at state colleges also?
Yes, I did in North Carolina.
Which one?
It was called North Carolina Central University.
North Carolina Central, okay.
Yeah.
What was there a different experience working at a public college versus a private?
Well, yeah. I mean, one was the public one was underfunded and, you know, basically corrupt, and so was the private. The private one was overfunded and corrupt.
Oh, so the choice then is underfunded and corrupt versus overfunded and corrupt. Which is more dangerous?
The overfunded and corrupt.
I was going to say the same thing. Crom?
Now, here's what you know. To me, what you have to have is you have to have the appropriate penalties for carrying out bad policy.
Right.
So if a review is going to take place, the standards of the review and how it will be graded needs to be very, very clear.
Right.
And if a university administration, not just one person, but the administration, doesn't adhere to free speech, an academic, however you want to describe it, the penalty should be against their salaries.
Oh, that's good. Or their jobs.
First, their salaries, and it should be in increments of 10%, all the way up to a reduction of 80%.
Yeah.
Depending on how bad they are on the grade.
Yeah.
And because if you take the elitists' money away from them, they get very angry.
Your eyes lit up when Crom said that. They also will
pay attention because they do what they do for the money.
Right. Oh, I know. I mean, at NYU where I taught, by the time I left after 11 years, I would say about 80% of my students were Chinese at this point.
Really?
Yeah.
And why was that?
Because they were rich, coming from, you know, were Chinese Communist Party children sent over here to pay the full tuition freight and NYU.
It's all about the do-re-mi, isn't
it?
Now, for those guys. Crom, we are running up against the clock here. Here's what we're going to have to do.
Yeah, let's talk
about it. Here's where you go to ask the next question.
Okay.
The book signing today, 12:30 p.m., Elders Bookstore, 101 Whitebridge Road. The great Michael Rechtenwald, his book, Thought Criminal. He knows about it because he is a thought criminal. Michael, what a delight. Last question, when are you moving to state income tax-free Tennessee?
I'm looking at it right now.
A smart man.
Welcome. Be welcome.
We're welcoming a thought criminal to Tennessee. All right, when we come back, Dr. Gay's Game Day Picks. This is the Tennessee Star Report, and I'm Michael Patrick Leahy.